Back in 2011, locally owned solar firms in Boulder, Colorado faced mounting competition from big-name rivals encroaching on their market. National firms like SolarCity and Sunrun have squeezed out smaller installers in markets across the U.S., but this time, a few of them banded together to fight back. They formed Amicus Solar Cooperative, which they jointly own, to aggregate their purchasing power and carve out a better toehold for independent businesses in the burgeoning solar market. The plan worked. Today, Amicus has 40 member companies spread between 28 states plus Puerto Rico and Canada, and they're thriving. Now, some Amicus members have plans to leverage the cooperative model again, this time on the lending side of clean energy. They expect to open a clean energy credit union in the coming months to use member deposits to provide low-cost financing specifically for solar and energy-saving improvements. Stephen Irvin is president of Amicus and at the center of the credit union initiative. He recently spoke with John Farrell, who heads the Energy Democracy Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, about how these cooperatives promote competition and distributed generation at the same time.
Every dollar directly supports the adoption of clean energy, you know, by helping finance a solar system being installed, an electric vehicle being purchased, or energy efficient window installation, or better insulation in the attic, like I said, you know, it's directly impacting that.
This is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
Well, I feel like we should start off with kind of an important question for a lot of people who are going to be listening, which is, what is a cooperative? Or maybe, you know, in terms of comparison, how does a cooperative different from like a franchise like McDonald's in terms of the relationship between the different participants and members in the cooperative?
Oh, that is a good place to start. Cooperatives are essentially democratically governed corporations that are jointly owned by small independent businesses who come together to reach their common goals. These small independent businesses are known as quote-unquote members, or a lot of times member owners. And they each own an equal share of common stock in the cooperative corporation. And thus they have 100% control over the cooperative, how it will function, where it will go in the future, and its direction, etc. Comparing that to franchises, they fall more into what I would call a category of like a licensing agreement, where franchisees are also small independent businesses, but they are essentially licensed the brand, like the McDonald's brand, the product, the operational procedures, by a parent franchisor who ultimately controls the identity of the franchisee. And typically, franchisees, in exchange for this, pay an initial startup fee, fees for training, like sales and marketing training, or even operational training, and typically a royalty on the earnings that the franchisee makes. So a percentage of its profits go back to the parent franchisor. Now, this can be a great way for businesses to leapfrog a lot of the pain and hurdles of a startup. You know, if you're just getting going, just coming into the market, you get a proven playbook from a franchisor that allows you to jump over a lot of those pain points when you're doing a startup. With cooperatives, member companies are typically businesses who are, you know, well out of the startup phase. They're more established, and they're really looking for a way to preserve their local or regional presence and preserve their employee base and preserve what their mission and their local communities against what are kind of the large national big box stores. And in many cases, it's funny, the origin story, if you will, of a cooperative is kind of like the David and Goliath story, where you have the big national firm coming into a local market and the little guy looks around and says, gosh, how am I going to compete? Well, joining a cooperative with a national reach can leverage the economies of scale that you get from a national cooperative without losing control of your own independent business and being able to compete with the big guys a little bit better.
So what's the story behind the Amicus Solar Cooperative? Is it a David and Goliath story where there was, you know, pressure from, you know, national firms in the solar industry as it's been growing so quickly?
Correct. Yeah. Specifically one called SolarCity. I'm based in the Boulder, Colorado area and worked for many years. Actually, was there at the beginning of a company called Namaste Solar, which was a local solar installation company. And we had been an employee-owned company since the start. And well into our evolution of Namaste Solar, we learned about cooperative business models, specifically worker or employee-owned cooperatives. And right about that time, SolarCity, the large national firm, was coming into our regional market in Colorado and doing just that. spending an enormous amount of money on marketing and grabbing market share very quickly. And it caused concern. And so we looked around and said, well, they clearly have a lot more buying power than us. What can we do to combat that? And so we formed a purchasing cooperative, which is Amicus. And we named it Amicus because we reached out to just a handful of friends, you know, that we had known for many years in the solar industry and said, hey, do you want to come together and own this cooperative equally ourselves? And obviously, Amicus is Latin for the word friend, and that was the start.
In this case, it's a purchasing cooperative, which means that you guys are collectively buying equipment that you use in the solar mm-hmm. installation business. Is that right?
That's correct.
When I talked with a colleague of yours previously, you know, we talked about this notion of there being a business-facing benefit, which is to say the solar installers here have a benefit of getting economies of scale and purchasing equipment. Is there also a customer-facing benefit, like branding, you know, like there is with Ace Hardware, for example, where, you know, that's a network of cooperative hardware stores that are independently owned, but they also share that branding so that people often say, oh, well, there's an Ace Hardware. I'm familiar with that. I'm going to go in here, maybe not realizing that it's not part, you know, of one national chain, but it's instead of a lot of businesses independently owned, but collectively purchasing together.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Yeah, Ace and also True Value Hardware stores are very well-known purchasing cooperatives that are also very consumer-facing. They have branded products, et cetera, all the marketing in there that that consumers see. With Amicus, we're pretty young. You know, we founded Amicus just a few years ago, and right now we do not focus on any consumer-facing identity, if you will. In exchange, we're just in the background supporting our member companies build their own brands and identities in their local markets. So, you know, right now we have 40 member companies spread out across 28 states, actually Puerto Rico and Canada as well. And it's their shingle out front, you know, facing the consumer. And Amicus is in the background helping support them by lowering their cost of their equipment. But also we're sharing a lot of best practices on how to effectively run the operations of our business more efficiently, better marketing strategies, better sales structures, et cetera. It's all in the background as of today. Although I would say it is starting to trickle into more of, it's not exactly consumer facing, it's more facing the large solar project owners. These are also called asset owners, where these are like large fields of solar panels that you might see that are interconnected with a utility and the utility's paying for the power. In that world, Amicus does have this national reach, and so there are a lot of companies out there that have portfolios of projects spread out across the United States, and they're looking for one shop to go to be able to find the right high-quality installation partners to handle all their projects that they have based in Texas and New Jersey and California all at once. And Amicus can tackle that. It's not like the homeowner that sees that, obviously. It's the larger asset owners that see that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a great story of the advantage of the cooperative, something that probably wouldn't have happened had you not joined together because these companies would have, you know, not seen you as a national firm. Is there another story like that of you know, the advantages that the cooperative has brought, either, you know, in terms of, you know, being able to compete effectively against SolarCity or something else?
Yeah, you bet. It's interesting. We really feel that one thing we've done quite a bit is share ways in which we're finding new customers and been able to do so in an effective way where we've dialed in what are called referral programs that have really reduced the cost of finding new customers. And this has been a problem with the larger firms like SolarCity, where their cost to acquire a customer, they call it acquiring customers, is much more expensive than ours. And so that's allowed us to really continue to grow sustainably and compete head-to-head with SolarCity. And not to mention, it's interesting, we're up to the purchasing volumes now across our group that we're essentially getting the same price as these big guys, which is great. The trick that always does come, though, is, you know, our group, we have to be profitable. Right. These are small independent businesses and they're not publicly held corporations like SolarCity. But we've been able to do that where we've lowered our cost of finding new customers and the cost of equipment so much so that we're all very healthy, profitable businesses. So that's pretty exciting to see these members grow over time.
You know, it's interesting that you say that about being competitive because I just saw a story in the past couple of weeks that said that the larger solar installation companies actually have higher prices than the smaller ones. And it makes me wonder if that story is in some ways capturing this kind of network effect of smaller businesses teaming together to drive down their purchasing prices, or if there's something else going on there in terms of those bigger companies having higher costs.
That gets us into the impetus behind bringing on this new clean energy credit union as well. The majority of the large national firms and the majority of residential installations in the United States today are under a lease program where the homeowner leases their, you know, sunny rooftop to a third party, in this case, SolarCity or Sunrun and others. And so the homeowner doesn't own the system themselves, and it can cause problems because if they ever wanted to refinance or sell their home, they'd be responsible for adhering to those lease terms, which can be cumbersome. But a lot of times the cost of that financing is added into the installation basis. So the price per watt of an installation can look arbitrarily higher for those companies that are focused on leases versus companies like ours. We feel it's better for the homeowner to own the system themselves. And we focus on those types of sales and not the lease sales. And so naturally, our price per watt is lower. It's not an exact apples to apples comparison there, I don't think, with the pricing.
Hey, thanks for listening to Local Energy Rules. If you've made it this far, you're obviously a fan, and we could use your help for just 2 minutes. Wherever you found our podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, or somewhere else, help other folks find us too by rating our podcast. You can also check out ILSR's other podcasts, like Building Local Power or Community Broadband Bits. Thanks so much for listening. Let's pivot there. You know, you mentioned this Clean Energy Credit Union, and let's talk about, you know, first of all, this is a new venture of Amicus members, but then not necessarily a one-to-one relationship between the current members and the folks that will be part of this. But, you know, what's the gap that this credit union is trying to fill in the solar market?
The gap it's trying to fill really is to be able to provide an easy way for a homeowner to finance going solar. And the Clean Energy Credit Union will be providing, you know, long-term personal loans for a solar system. These terms can be 12 years or longer. So that way the monthly payment is affordable. And when I say affordable, we really look at it where the monthly payment of the loan, how that compares relative to their current utility bill. We don't want it to be much higher than the current utility bill, or the case for it isn't as compelling and doesn't make it as easy for the homeowner to handle. There's been a void of these affordable solar loans out there. There are a handful of solar loan providers that are kind of a third-party company, but they have additional fees that they add that can be substantial as well, similar to the fees we see in the lease products. And so the goal of the credit union was to really drop down the cost of financing solar. But it's not just financing solar that we're doing, right? You know, the credit union's goal is also to finance energy efficiency improvements like better windows and insulation in the attic and also electric vehicles, et cetera. So solar is one part of it, but it's got a broader mission to address the adoption of clean energy.
So I don't know if you'd be able to get into this level of detail out of curiosity. If a homeowner right now could do like a home equity loan, for example, maybe it would be up to a 10-year term, probably not longer than that. And if they have really good credit, they might be able to get it at like a 4% interest rate. How might this compare for a customer like that? Or is it really more targeted at folks who don't have both that availability of home equity and, you know, a great credit score?
Yeah, that's a great question. Home equity is a great way to go. And what our goal is to create product like the loan products that are comparable. We are focusing on a 12, 15, and 20-year terms that are interest rates that are in the realm of what you just mentioned there, that 4%. So that intention there is to keep the interest rates as low as possible. And the way we're able to do that is the credit union has a very low cost of funds, right? You know, the basis for these funds are savings accounts and CDs, et cetera, that are the source of the capital. And credit unions are technically, a not-for-profit. So we don't have to have large earnings to meet the needs of our shareholders. Our shareholders are those banking at the credit union. The credit union itself is a financial cooperative, and its members are those banking there. So to compare with a home equity loan, it could be a great way to go, A, because of the deduction that you can receive on your taxes for the interest on the home equity loans, right? But our goal is to keep it fairly comparable and maybe go out for a longer term or tenor that allows the monthly payments to be more affordable on day one.
So my next question was, you know, focused on the, like, how much of a difference it might make in the cost of, say, a 5-kilowatt solar array. But what it sounds to me is that a big piece of this is really about aligning the financing terms with the terms of the savings of your solar array. So rather than trying to, say, really cut the cost of financing writ large, although that seems to be part of it, the idea might be, instead of having to pay $50 a month extra for my loan until I pay it off, I might actually be fairly even between the savings from my solar array and my payments on my loan.
The goal is exactly that, to have a combination of both of those, right? Is to drop the cost overall of the financing so that if you look over the long term, over, let's say, a 20, 25-year period, the total savings are significantly less, which compared to, obviously, a lease, it can be multiple thousands of dollars less over that term. But compared to a home equity loan, it might be more comparable in terms of the total financing savings. But then also, yeah, to look at the benefit the solar is providing relative to your current utility costs, trying to align those as well.
Why should I move my money to a clean energy credit union from, say, a big bank? Let's say I'm banking with Bank of America or U.S. Bank or some of those big national ones. What's the advantage in moving my money?
Well, credit unions are very different than a big bank. You know, they are financial cooperatives, like I mentioned, and they're owned by consumers or bank there. And credit unions, like all cooperatives, we didn't mention this earlier, but a hallmark of cooperatives is they return surplus earnings to its members. So the, you know, great example that I think a lot of people are familiar with is consumer cooperative REI. The more you shop at an REI, the more dividends you get back. With Amicus itself as a purchasing cooperative, the more you purchase from the manufacturers that Amicus works with, the more you receive back in what are called patronage dividends. In fact, Amicus typically allocates and distributes 100% of its earnings each year back to its members in the form of these patronage dividends. And patronage is essentially engagement in the cooperative activities. In our case, it's purchasing from our manufacturers. In REI, it's buying products at an REI store. But that's the idea, so that, you know, Amicus every year actually ends up with zero net income. That's the goal, to distribute those earnings back to the member companies. And so a credit union does the same thing, and that's very different than, obviously, a big bank. Also, credit unions are democratically governed. You know, members vote for the board of directors and help govern it. A primary reason, I would say, that you should consider opening a savings account or CD at our new credit union is because every dollar directly supports the adoption of clean energy. You know, by helping finance a solar system being installed, an electric vehicle being purchased, or energy efficient window installation, or better insulation in the attic, like I said, you know, it's directly impacting that. And what's really cool is each deposit, and we're going to start out simple, we're just going to offer savings accounts and CDs, but each of those deposits is insured by the federal government up to $250,000 per deposit. It's very similar to FDIC insurance at a big bank. The cooperatives use what's called the National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund. It's synonymous with FDIC insurance. And that's great. There's no CD, I don't believe, out there today that is essentially a solar CD or a clean energy CD where you know your CD funds are directly going to the adoption of clean energy. And I guess it comes down to really what you want your dollar supporting. Do you want them supporting the shareholders of a big bank or a democratically run and member-controlled credit union that is laser focused on building a clean energy future?
So with that in mind, Stephen, when does the credit union launch? When could I move my money if I was interested in investing in the clean energy economy?
We are about to get our charter, which allows us to open our doors. And we plan to have the charter within the next 2 months. And then we'll be launching a campaign to get the word out that we're open for business. And it will be an online-only bank. We're trying to keep the operations very lean and not have a big brick-and-mortar presence. And it's because we're also going to have a national reach, too. We're excited to open very soon, yeah.
Well, Stephen, thanks so much for talking to me about Amicus and about the Clean Energy Credit Union. If folks wanted to learn more about Amicus or the Clean Energy Credit Union, is there somewhere online they can learn more about it?
Sure. You can go to amicussolar.com to learn about the Amicus Solar Cooperative. And you can go to cleanenergyfcu.org to learn about the Clean Energy Federal Credit Union.
Stephen, thanks so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
That was Stephen Urban, president of Amicus Solar Cooperative, speaking with John Farrell, who leads the Energy Democracy Initiative here at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, about the ways cooperatives can spark growth and competition in the clean energy economy. And that music you heard in the middle of this episode is by Texas Music Forge. For more information on clean energy and cooperatives, visit ilsr.org. And while you're there, check out past episodes of the Local Energy Rules podcast. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.